Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listeners, welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 146 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Sarovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
So a lot of things have happened since we last recorded, actually, since we're now in the off-season, schedule for the podcast. The Mets, primarily among them, the Mets signed Edwin Diaz to a five-year, $102 million contract. Which is fantastic news. That happened before, free agency even began.
So clearly the mutual interest was very high on for both sides.
Those reports were clearly real. The mutual interest between the Mets and Edwin Diaz, that was clearly real. The contract includes an opt-out after the third year and a full no-trade clause. So at least for the next 3 years, Edwin Diaz remains a New York Met, which is very good news.
We get the trumpets for three more years.
Alexa Plainarco for three more years. Fantastic.
I want Timmy Trumpet there opening day.
I know, right? We need it.
We need it. He just posted a tweet where there's fire coming out of his trumpet. I want that opening day. And if not, I'll be very disappointed.
I mean, actual opening day, the Mets open in Miami. Opener.
Fine, home opener.
I should do it. This was an obvious move to do.
Yes.
Obviously, pending free agents. I think Edwin Diaz was the highest priority for the Mets and also was the guy who was most interested in returning. So this was kind of a no-brainer first move to the offseason, but it was great. There really wasn't a way to replace him. I mean, yeah, sure, there were other relievers out there, but A, none of them were as good as Diaz. And B, if you look around at what other relievers have been getting, notably Rafael Montero, former Met, now World Series winner, congratulations to Rafael Montero, got a very hefty contract for, someone who is now a World Series winner and was very successful this year, but does not have a very long track record of being an elite back end reliever. got a hefty three-year contract from the Houston Astros.
And it was also nice to see too, because Sandy's MO was really never paying for bullpen help. So the Mets always had a bad bullpen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you can't,
nice to see them actually investing in the bullpen. And because either way, you had to pay for a closer, so you might as well just keep the best in the league.
Exactly. And we've said over and over on this podcast, like, if you can't develop internal guys like that, and, you know, the Mets couldn't fix Rafael Montero the way the Astros did. Mm-hmm. So if you can't do that, then you have to pay for it in free agency. You have to do one or the other. And if the Mets are just going to pay money to have a bullpen every year, that's fine. But I think that they realized that Edwin Diaz was absolutely essential to the team's success, and they've brought him back. But of course, we immediately got an article from Keith Law at The Athletic about why giving him the contract was bad and the Mets didn't learn from their mistakes and it was bad and he's overpaid. Because relievers, like, it's the classic old relievers are volatile, so you should never pay for them adage, which, first of all, like, even though there is some truth to that, like, again, like we just said, if the Mets can't develop them themselves, what choice do they have? They don't have any other choice. And secondly, you know, yes, relievers are volatile, but Edwin Diaz is, like, by far the best reliever in baseball right now. And, like, I don't know how you can look at a dude who struck out over 50% of the batters he faced and be like, nah, that contract in year 5 might be bad.
And, like, okay, what else were they? Yeah, like, what else were they supposed to do? Their whole bullpen right now is Drew Smith.
Literally Drew Smith and, like, set up a man, Steven Nogosek. That was the situation that they were facing.
So closer, you have Drew to Smith. Start signing people either way. What were they supposed to do?
I don't know. Like, I think that he thinks that they should just, like, pick up dudes off the scrap heap, but, like, that's how you get every Mets bullpen that they've had. Like, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's how you get, like, I don't even know, like freaking Kyle Farnsworth pitching, like, meaningful innings. Like, this is the type of thing that they've done.
Frank Francisco is your closer.
Right. Like, this is the type of thing that they've done in the past.
Brandon,
like,
Looper.
When you don't pay for high-end talent, like, that is what happens. I mean, if you think, I mean, I guess, If your thesis is that the Mets should just pay for every other aspect of their team and have, like, a bad bullpen, like, that's not a complete team then. Like, that's, no. I don't know. It came to bite them, you know, literally in 2022 when they were a good team. Like, they still had a weak bullpen aside from Edwin Diaz. Like, did you not pay attention to the 2022 Mets? Like, Edwin Diaz was, like, the one good part of that bullpen, and Adam Ottavino to a certain extent, who they paid for, by the way. Who was a free agent. Like, I just, like, they
had no other options here. I mean, then bring back Ottavino and then, like, round out the bullpen with, like, solid dudes. And then you'll be fine, because they literally have no other options.
Yeah. Like, say what you will about giving a reliever a $100 million contract, but, like, what I ask you, what is your alternative? Like, what would you do, Keith Law? In the Mets situation, like, what other choice do they have?
And also just the entertainment value of it too, that he brings.
The Mets are going to sell $102 million in fake plastic trumpets and make up the contract anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people tune in, like, now just to watch him.
Right.
Or, like,
exactly.
They'll watch the SNY videos just to watch him.
And that has value. That has value.
It does. And we know Steve Cohen likes that entertainment value now. He likes that the Mets are, like, he wants to make them an event or, you know, to be fun. And that has its own separate value. People will buy Diaz jerseys because of that.
Absolutely. 100%. Like, I don't know what you want. Like, This is what the Mets should be doing.
That's
it's not your money. This is what the Mets should be doing. Like, this is what they should be doing. And like, when guys want to be on the Mets, you should, and they're good at baseball, you should just pay them.
That's very rare.
Pretty simple. It is worth noting, though, the one notable thing, and I'll kind of like circle back to this when we talk about like what options were picked up and who got the QO and who didn't and blah, blah, blah. But worth noting that this Diaz deal does have deferred money, which is something that is, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't want to call it like troubling or anything like that. I feel like that's a bit hyperbolic to say.
Well, we have Edwin Diaz Day, like we have Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I don't actually know how much of the contract is deferred. I haven't looked at the details. I just know that there is some money that is deferred. Now, like, I'm not saying that like, oh no, Steve Cohen is broke. Like, that is not what that means. But it might mean something for like how far over the Cohen tax he's willing to go, if at all. I mean, I hope he goes over it, because the Cohen tax is like what? It's like $293 million or something. Like, the Mets are going to need a bigger payroll than that in order to be competitive. Like, they need, like, I'm not saying they're going to
spend this.
They
need a whole new bullpen. They need a whole new rotation.
Right. Like, I'm not saying they're going to spend this much in the end, but they need, like, they need to run, like, a $350 million payroll?
At least. Bare minimum.
Like, they're probably not going to run that high, but they kind of do need that. And so I think that, like, that's why this deferred money is happening. Because, like, Steve Cohen knows this. Like, he knows that he's going to have to run a pretty high number on the payroll in order to field a competitive team next year.
Especially if you want one of the premier free agents on the market, that's going to get pretty pricey pretty quickly.
Right. Now, they don't have to replace the entire rotation. They do, obviously, Max Scherzer's coming back. That was like the one guaranteed thing. But they did pick up Carlos Carrasco's $14 million option. It's really an $11 million option because it was a $3 million buyout or whatever. So they did do that. So they have two like actual viable major league pitchers, and then they have like Tylor Megill, David Peterson et al. Which like we learned in 2022 that like those guys are viable to fill in for a while, but they should not be penciled in as your like fourth and fifth starters right out the gate. That should not be a thing. They should be depth only. So the Mets.
What about Lucchese?
Lucchese. Also, I mean, gonna probably be on the roster unless he's like, you know, not ready or like, you know, has a setback or something, which I think he was pretty far along in his rehab.
Bring the turf back.
He is viable depth. He should be viable, viable depth. But again, we should not be penciling in Joey Lucchese as the fifth starter. As much as I adore the turf. So that's, you know, three starting rotation slots. Now, I mean, I kind of like how, you know, they like traded for Bassett to kind of last year to fill the like one like so they that was like the big pitching move. They did Max Scherzer as the big free agent signing, and then they traded for Bassett. Is like, okay, like that's really good. I feel like they kind of need to do like that level again. They basically need to make like one splashy signing, whether that's like bringing back DeGrom, signing Verlander, something of that level, and they need like a legitimate mid rotation guy. And then if they get like a third guy to fill like that fourth or fifth rotation slot, it can be like a much lower tier. But that's like what they've got to make like three signings.
There was rumors connecting them to Rondon, which I would absolutely take Rondon.
I mean, that would be great. That would be on the splashier end. Yes, they should have done it last year. Yeah, I mean, they traded for Bassett instead, and that ended up being fine. Yeah, fine. I mean, if he can stay healthy, then that is an excellent option for them. I think sadly that would not happen in addition to DeGrom. It would be if DeGrom walks, would they do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, they're only doing one of the highest tier. Like, they're doing either DeGrom comes back, yeah, or then they're going to the free agent market and they're going to pick one of the, like, top available guys, and it's going to be, like, Verlander or Rondon or, like, I guess those are, like, really the only two, like, high-end guys available, unless they make a trade.
Unless they trade for Glasnow.
I mean, we'll get more on that.
We absolutely do.
we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just making things up.
Yeah, I mean, like, you say that, but the Rays are making their pitching available.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless they trade for Glasnow or, you know, Shane McClanahan, also a Ray, or, you know, or somebody else of that tier. Doesn't have to be the Rays. Shane Bieber, something like that. They have a trait like that in them. Shohei Ohtani also pitches.
Yeah. He just put it all out there.
Right. The Mets have the pieces to trade for Shohei Ohtani.
And for anyone that doesn't include Francisco Alvarez in their trade proposal for Shohei Ohtani is clearly deluding themselves.
Yes.
Like, you have to include Francisco. I'm sorry. You have to.
I love not my favorite time of year, because anything to do with the off season is not my favorite time of year because it's not baseball season. But my favorite, like, off season, recurring off season thing is the laughable trade proposals that people post, and they make them in, like, they make, like, graphics for them. And it's always hilarious. It's that meme. It's like, I receive, you receive, like, that meme. And it's always ridiculous. Like, remember when we were making fun of the Yankee fans about how they were, like, going to trade us, like, Miguel Andujar for Jacob DeGrom? Like, that's what you all sound like, so stop it.
Yes. Like, you're not trading Drew Smith and Ronnie Mauricio for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, like, come on. You're going to have to trade Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty.
Or,
like,
Mark Vientos.
Mark Vientos.
That's not getting you Ohtani. I'm sorry.
That's not going to happen. But yeah, I mean, to fill out their rotation, they're going to need to get a little creative, especially if, you know, DeGrom walks.
I'm not entertaining that, because I was driving the other day and Simple Man came on my Spotify and I started to cry, and I'm not even going to think about it.
Yeah, it's like, who knows what's going to happen. Jacob DeGrom and Taijuan Walker both officially opted out. So, like, in order to bring either of them back, the Mets would have to sign them to new deals. And both of these were obviously expected moves, like, not a surprise for either one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, there have been rumors regarding DeGrom, the rumors on DeGrom have been all over the damn place. So there's been, like, there was an article, like, a little while ago, and it was specifically, like, an article where Mark Canha was interviewed. I think it was Andy Martino interviewed Mark Canha, and Mark Canha was like, DeGrom loves New York and he wants to stay here, and he loves me, Mark Canha. And I was like, Mark, I don't know about that, man. I was like, Mark, I love you. I'm sure that Jake does enjoy having you as a teammate, and I don't think you're lying about any of this, but I don't know if I trust you about what Jacob deGrom thinks. I'm not sure that Mark Canha is the leading authority on Jacob deGrom, but whatever. So there was that article.
I'm going to take it as a good sign that they were buddies.
You know, it's better than it not having, better than like Mark Canha not saying that, I guess.
That Jake wasn't just like disgruntled in the clubhouse the entire time. Sure. Like, it doesn't seem like that happened.
So there was that article, and then there was the rumor that DeGrom had expressed interest in signing with the Rangers, which caused everybody to subsequently freak out. Now, I mean, like, that would not be a surprise either. I think that, like, you know, it's no secret that Texas, he would like that. That would be a good destination for him.
Will it though? Because they're terrible.
Yeah, they're bad.
You wanna win there?
Yeah, I think he does want to win, so I think that that's an issue.
Like, all these, I just don't understand where these rumors came from, because he's not winning there and he's so competitive. I don't understand. Like,
I think he just like wants to play like in Texas, the state of Texas. Like
I know they signed Zinger, but they're still really bad.
Yeah,
the Rangers. On the horizon.
The Rangers are a weird organization, man. Like, they threw around a bunch of money last offseason, and they were still bad. Because, like, it's very weird. Like, because they don't do the we tried stuff. Like, no. That's not their angle. Like, they're not doing, like, a couple splashy signings to do a we tried the way that some, like, organizations who, like, try to delude their fan base into thinking they're trying do. The Rangers, like, legitimately think they're going to be good if they just sign, like, one or two good free agents. But then the problem is that there's nobody else on their
team. They're in a bad division. They're in a tough division.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the Astros division.
Yeah. So they're nowhere close to competing with the Astros.
Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, there were reports that he was interested in signing with the Rangers. I have no idea if those reports are like where those reports are coming from. Because like, keep in mind, like, you know, we go through this every offseason. Like, there are always rumors. And you have to bear in mind who is tweeting what, because that is usually indicative of where the rumors are coming from. Because like, it's very different if like Ken Rosenthal or Jeff Passan tweet something versus if a specific team's beat tweets something versus if, you know, some fake Jeff Passan checkmark tweets something versus like some like kind of maybe reputable person who has sources but they're not an actual beat reporter tweet something. Like, there's levels here, and it's kind of always hard to discern because everybody has an angle, right? Like, the player has an interest, like, and the player's agent has an interest in certain information getting out because they want it to be a leverage play, and the team has an interest in certain information getting out because they want to have leverage. Then like other teams sometimes want information to get out. Like, the Rangers rumor, I don't know if that's coming from like DeGrom and his agent trying to like power play the Mets and being like, look, I want to play with this other team. Or if it's the Mets like just kind of like doing a reverse psychology, or if it's like the Rangers being like, look, he really wants to play here. Ha ha ha. Like, who can say?
See, like, I don't know if it's just me just refusing to believe that Jake will play anywhere else, especially on a bad team. I thought the Braves were more likely for Jake, but now it says the Braves aren't going after any of the top free agents.
Yeah, the latest rumor on the Braves, who were early rumors, that even predates the offseason. Like, when Jake first kind of said it was his intention to opt out, everyone was like, oh, the Braves are going to sign him. The Braves are interested because, like, in DeGrom and all this stuff, and now
he's a Braves fan growing up, it's closer to home.
Yeah.
They just seem to make sense.
And now the latest rumor regarding the Braves is that they're not spending big on like any free agents, not just DeGrom, because like they refuse to go over like $22 million a year on like any free agent contract.
Yeah, they said they might not even re-sign Dansby Swanson. So.
Yeah. So, because the Braves like whole thing is like we sign our players to extensions like the second they debut with the team for $1, and that's like how they operate.
But what's the point of doing that if it's clearing money that you're not gonna spend?
Exactly. It's like weird. It's like, yeah, like cool, you money ball, you like won at the money ball, but then that only is like smart if you actually like supplement that core that you have locked down for cheap with like other star players.
Yeah. I mean, they're good and they're going to stay good.
They're still going to be good anyway, but they'd be a lot better if they had Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
I mean,
but we're not putting that in the universe.
No, we're not. I mean, good. Like, you don't want to spend over $22 million on a free agent? Great. Sounds good to me. Cool. Thanks. So, like, it's weird because, like, I don't know if he wants, like, I don't know, like, how much truth there is in, like, him wanting to stay versus him wanting to go. But also, there's only, like, a few teams, like, I don't know, and I have no idea if the Texas Rangers are one of them, let's be real. There are only a few teams that are actually probably willing to give DeGrom the amount he wants, and the Mets are, like, one of, like, three or four teams that can do it. Like, once you get into that stratosphere of player, it becomes, like, the Mets and the Dodgers and the Yankees and, like, you know, like, the Baltimore Orioles are not paying Jacob DeGrom, you know, $35, $40 million a year.
No.
They're just not doing it.
I mean, as much as poor Orioles fans deserve that.
They would deserve it, but no.
But also, they're just not. I mean, they went on that run last year, but they're not close enough where adding Jacob DeGrom will put them over the top.
Right. I mean, they could go completely wild and sign a few guys, and that might put them over the top, but. I don't know. So, like, that's a situation with DeGrom. Like, I don't want to, like, we've been on this journey with DeGrom before. And I was so emotionally exhausted by the end of it last time that this time around, I'm like refusing to get worked up about anything until either they sign him again or he walks, like, officially signs somewhere else. Until, like, I see the, like, Ken Rosenthal breaking official, like, I can't get worked up about anything.
No, I know. I just need to skip Simple Man on my Spotify when it comes on.
Just have to let things fall where they may.
Or just listen to Narco on repeat, because now yes, that we can celebrate Narco.
We at least have that. Yes. In smaller moves that the Mets have done, they, in addition to picking up the option on Carrasco, they picked up the options on Daniel Vogelbach and John Curtis. Daniel Vogelbach, that was obvious. He's only going to make $1.5 million. I think, you know, I think they know that he's not going to DH every single day. He bare minimum needs to be like a platoon guy. But, you know, $1.5 million for, you know, platoon alongside platoon DH is not that big of a deal. And he was very popular and was, you know, a good player on the Mets. So I think that's kind of a no-brainer. And John Curtis, that option was always going to be picked up because they signed him last offseason to kind of a 1-year deal plus an option, knowing that he was going to miss the entire 2022 season because of Tommy John surgery. So that he has a cheap, like a $775,000 option for 2023, in which he will in theory be healthy, so he could be in the mix for the Mets bullpen for next year. So those are smaller things that they did kind of around the edges.
And they just picked somebody up from the Yankees today.
They did. So today was the, so this is where it circles back to the race a little bit indirectly. So today was the, for the deadline to protect, to add players to your 40 man roster to protect them from the Rule 5 draft. If by the end of the day today, you didn't add a player to the 40 man, then he would be exposed to the Rule 5 draft. So the Rays had like an excess of pitching that they, you know, all of these players were probably good enough to like be on the 40 man roster, but they just didn't have the 40 man roster space. So they were a player to make some trades to try to get value back from those guys rather than just leaving them unprotected. And they would almost certainly get drafted in the Rule 5 draft. So there were some rumors that the Mets and the Rays might make a trade because the Mets were one of the teams mentioned by name that were checking in on Rays pitching. Now, you haven't heard anything about anything materializing as of 9:30 p.m. when we're recording this podcast on Tuesday night. But yeah, that was a rumor that was floating around. But the Mets did pick up Steven Ridings from the Yankees, you know, in a like similar situation where Ridings would have been unprotected, so they picked him up and added him.
Can
to
I just
their
say, I love that the Mets Twitter still goes New York AL anytime they mention the Yankees.
Yeah, it's very funny,
like the fact that they kept that going. I just, it's a small thing, but it brings me joy.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Mets claimed him off waivers today. He made 5 appearances with the Yankees in 2021 and pitched to a 1.8 ERA with 7 strikeouts. He had shoulder issues and missed all of last season. So this is kind of like, they're just taking a flyer on a guy who
he's
might
a
be
dude.
Part of the bullpen. He's a dude. The Mets had 40-man roster space, so they were like, whatever. but
like we said, they don't have a lot of options, so might as well start throwing
stuff
at the wall
right.
and see if anything stinks.
But what's interesting is that they had a lot of 40-man roster space. They had like at least like 5, I think like at least 5 slots on their 40-man roster. But they didn't add, notably, they didn't add Jake Mangum to the 40-man roster, so he will be subject to the Rule 5 draft and is likely going to get picked up probably. So that would be the only notable loss from being left unprotected as far as the Mets are concerned. So that, I find that kind of interesting. I don't know why they did that. But I mean, not that I think Jake...
He's outfield depth.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Not that I think Jake Mangum is like any, you know, great shakes, but...
No, yeah.
It is kind of odd that they did that. You know, especially since, you know, they don't really have a center fielder right now. But there are a couple of like leads in that direction. Obviously, the Mets, like DeGrom, remain connected to, they say that they remain in communication with Brandon Nimmo. Just like they keep saying they're still remain in communication with Jacob DeGrom. I'm sure that that's true. I'm sure they're in communication with both. Doesn't mean they're going to end up with them, but at least they're communicating with them. Nimmo reportedly does have a pretty robust market, though, which is not surprising. The Mariners are among the teams that have been named that are interested in him. You know, it's not surprising that Nimmo has many teams interested. Like, basically, you know, outside of Aaron Judge, he is the best, like, outfielder available. And is going to get a pretty sizable contract.
I don't know if he's going, like, I know that he's connected to the Rockies, but the Rockies aren't going to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, I don't know. The Rockies are, I have stopped trying to understand what the Rockies are doing at any given time. So, Rockies are the weirdest organization to me. I never understand what they're doing. I mean, they signed Chris Bryant. They did that.
They did. But then is that, like, did that put them over their budget? And they're like, well, now we can't spend money for years now.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what the Rockies are doing. They might sign Brandon Nimmo. Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, they'll still be bad, but at least
hasn't Nimmo hit like 800 in cores? It feels that way, even if it's not true.
Yeah. No, he would be fun to watch there for sure.
He did a lot of freaking triples in cores.
Mm-hmm.
He led the major leagues in triples.
Yeah.
Somehow. With only like seven.
Didn't he have an inside the park home run?
In Coors, yes.
Yeah, I thought
Yeah, he did. With his family watching.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so who knows what'll happen there. Other kind of Mets rumors, players the Mets have been connected to. Mets are rumored to be, speaking of center field, although this is a guy who, the Mets are interested in Trey Turner, which, yes, sign me up for that. I think part of their thinking there might be if Nimmo walks and signs somewhere else, they might actually sign Trey Turner to play center field. Which would be interesting. Or perhaps they will sign him to play second base and then yeah. Jeff McNeil move to the outfield and Starling Marte will play center field. Either one.
Like, they kind of already hinted at that. Like, there was this random article in the beginning of the year saying the Mets are open to Starling Marte playing center field. And it's like, okay.
I wonder why you're saying that at this particular time.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like the Mets are interested in Trey Turner. It's like, oh,
now connecting the dots.
Yes. So, I mean, Trey Turner is one of those players that pisses me the hell off every time the Mets play him.
It'd be great to not have to face him anymore and for him to be on our team instead.
Yes. So it would be nice that I wouldn't have to be enraged anytime the Mets play him.
Yes.
And that would be one deadly top of the lineup, too.
Yes, it would be. Man. Trey Turner with the stolen base threat. Yeah. Because,
Lindor.
As great of a leadoff hitter as Nimmo was, and he was a great one, the one thing he lacked was stolen base ability. I mean, he had the speed. He had excellent sprint speed, elite sprint speed even. I think he was like 90th percentile sprint speed in baseball last season, something like that. But he just wasn't a very good base stealer. He didn't have good like base stealing instincts. And he didn't like try all that often to steal. Trey Turner, on the other hand, steals a lot of bases. So that'd be nice to have at the top of the lineup, for sure.
And can you imagine him and Lindor on the base pass at the same time?
And Starling Marte?
Yeah.
All three of them at the top. Yeah. That would be the 1-2-3.
Yeah. It would be
Trey Turner, Starling Marte, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso. That's a hell of a 1-4.
And it would be a lot of fun to watch.
That would be pretty dang nice. I think that, you know, it's basically going to be one or the other. Like, either the Mets re-sign Brandon Nimmo, or they let Nimmo walk and instead they sign one of the Trey Turner either to play second base or center field, depending on how they decide to best use his skills, or they sign like Carlos Correa to play third base. Like, they will sign a major position player, I think.
Yeah. They know they're lacking a bat.
They know they need one. With Nimmo walking.
Yeah.
They know they have a hole. So I think that they will do that. And they know that they need a pitcher, obviously, or three. They know they need a high-end starting pitcher. And again, like, it'll either be they bring back Jacob DeGrom or they go out and get Justin Verlander or they trade for someone, Shane McClanahan, or they sign Rodon or something like that.
Somebody. They still need a DH.
I mean, they have Vogelbach, but they need a platoon partner for him. That's not named Darren Ruff.
No, God. They cannot go in with a question mark a DH again.
No, they can't. I mean, the terrible like fool's option that I don't think the Mets, I hope they don't do this, but I could see them being stupid in doing this, is that they DH Francisco Alvarez again. And they just run out the three catchers on the roster. They have Alvarez, Nieto, and McCann all on the roster, and they just DH Alvarez, which would be stupid, in my opinion.
That would be stupid.
But they might do that. As far as other names the Mets have been connected to, the Mets have shown interest in Andrew Heaney, who's basically like that's fine.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not surprising given the Epler connection. That would be like one of the, that would be like a lower tier. Like, I think that they know that that would have to be like in addition to bringing back DeGrom or
you don't know. That cannot be like your, like, he's not slotting in behind Scherzer.
Yeah, but I mean, Andrew Heaney is basically like fancy dog David Peterson, like, who has a Billy Epler connection. So that's not a surprising thing that the Mets are interested. And drumroll, please, Michael Conforto. The Mets are interested in Michael Conforto.
Which, I'm not opposed to
fine, it. Whatever, but you can't pencil him into like the like a, an everyday starting role at this point. No. His shoulder Schwarber might just be a bag of sand.
Is Schwarber a free agent?
No. Schwarber? No.
The Phillies extended him?
I thought the Phillies signed him to like a very long-term deal when they signed him.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was a short-term kind of deal.
No. It's like he got like the Starling Marte treatment.
Did he?
Yeah, 4 years, 79 million.
Oh, well then never mind then.
Yeah. No. That's not a thing.
I was like, oh, there's your DH. No.
No. I mean, that'd be nice. But yeah, no, they cannot pencil him Michael Conforto into a starting role, but like sure, I'd take a flyer on him. Fine.
No, whatever. I would too. Yeah, what difference does it make at this
Prove point? Your shoulder is not a sandbag.
It's not held together with duct tape.
Yeah, exactly. And also worth noting that Japanese ace Kodai Senga has been scouted extensively by both the Mets and Yankees, and he's currently in the United States, like meeting with teams, I think. So that's another option. The Mets could decide that they are no longer allergic to the Asian market, and actually do something there. And Senga is not a guy who was like posted. He's just like a free agent. So they don't have to deal with the posting system and all that to sign him. They can just sign him. I mean, I don't, there are people who know more about this stuff than I do that have talked about like whether Senga will like how his stuff will translate from Japan to the major leagues. And there's, I think that there's like debate about that, but it's another name that the Mets have been connected to. So.
I just, I don't know enough to speak on his stuff. Like, it's nice that they are branching out and looking at international free agents, but I don't know.
And like, you know, like we mentioned, they have like three rotation vacancies to fill. They're going to have to get a little creative somehow.
Yeah.
And that's one way to get creative with it. So I'm not opposed to it. The other Mets news that is like kind of breaking news just happened within the past hour or so.
Woo!
Buck Showalter won NL Manager of the Year.
Congratulations, Buck.
Which is very exciting. Yes. I mean, these awards are like kind of silly, but the more than any of the other awards, even like Gold Glove and all these other things, like the Manager of the Year award is very much like based on vibes.
Pretty much.
It's like the Vibes of the Year award. That's the name of this episode. That's the name of this episode, Vibes of the Year. And I mean, Buck Showalter had impeccable vibes. There's no denying.
The vibes were off the charts.
Yeah.
And especially because anybody who wins over Kalina Lindor is okay in my book.
Exactly. And there's, so like, obviously the highlight of the whole playoffs was Kalina Lindor being like, Papa, Buck.
Yeah, Buck. I cannot even tell you how many times I've watched that video.
So many times. And of course, they made a sequel video, which is fantastic. when you know, they announced that Buck won Manager of the Year, Lindor recorded another video with his daughter, and it's just as adorable, and it's great. So That is giving fantastic. A
thumbs up.
And I mean,
did you see the video before that when they were watching to see if Buck would get announced?
No, I didn't.
She has these glasses on and they're like light up glasses.
Oh my God, amazing.
And she's pointing to the TV and goes, Buck?
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 Oh, I love her. It's so good. The vibes are so good. I mean, were there some questionable decisions that he made, tactically? Yeah, sure.
Yes.
But were they any more or less than the median manager? I don't think so. And as far as a leader of his players and the clubhouse vibes, yeah. And how much his players are dedicated to him, it is clear that he is pretty peerless in that regard.
Even the Mets season, they did. I mean, obviously they bought in a lot of talent, but the season did a complete 180 from the past 2 years where they underachieved. Yeah. And so, I mean, they underachieved this year too, but it wasn't until the playoffs that happened. Well, I guess because they blew the division, but still, they won over 100 games. They were doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm very happy about that. I like Buck Showalter.
Yeah, I was going to say, he earned it. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who could really make an argument against him. I don't know who, because, it's the off season and I don't really pay attention to baseball. I don't know who he was in the running against. I don't know who the three finalists were. I just know Buck was one of them.
Right. I mean, Phillies fans will say that Rob Thomson should have been considered because, obviously he turned the team around in a huge way, but the postseason isn't part of the consideration for the award. So, I mean, yes, he still turned the team around in the regular season too. They were, really floundering before he became the manager. And obviously that's why Girardi was fired. But I don't know. So Phillies fans will argue that he should have won.
But they were a third place team.
Right.
You still finished in third. Yeah. We can't look at the postseason. You finished in third.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are Booker, people that. Yep.
At least give us this. We'll take this.
Yeah.
We'll take the wins where we can get them.
Yeah, exactly. And there are people that are always going to argue that the more tactical managers should be winning this, but I don't know. It's the vibes of the year award. Who cares?
Yeah.
And what the vibes were excellent.
Are you really going to get that man that your manager did not win manager of the year award? There's other things to get mad about.
Yeah, exactly. In non-Mets news, I suppose since the last time we recorded, the season was not over yet. We should discuss the World Series pretty briefly. The Astros won the World Series in six games.
Thankfully.
Yeah. And so there are a few things that I want to note about it. I mean, so I didn't watch most of it. I watched game six, the second half of it, before the Yordan Alvarez homer that ended up being the game-winning homer. And that was a majestic shot. That was fantastic. Objectively speaking, it was a good World Series. There was a no-hitter in it. A combined no-hitter, which doesn't count according to Noah Syndergaard, who, his team was
not hit. Yeah. Karma, Noah, karma.
Yeah, that was kind of karmic retribution to say a combined no-hitter doesn't count and then your team gets combined no-hit in the World Series.
In the playoff. World Series. I think it was the first ever combined no-hitter in the World Series.
Yes, it was. Dusty Baker got his ring.
Yes.
So there's that. There was a lot of... I mean, there was a lot of course, there was a lot of Astros cheating discourse. And I feel like the way that the broadcast and the way the whole World Series was like presented to us, it was almost like forcing us to feel some sort of way about it. Like, it was like, oh, well, now you have to forgive the Astros because they have this clean World Series. So that erases all the sins. And it's like, okay, like, that would fly with me if anyone was actually punished for what happened.
Yeah. Yes.
But because no one was ever punished, that doesn't fly with me. It's like, no, we can't just forget about it because they won another one.
No, if anything, they weren't punished, so they benefited from cheating. They still got to keep their World Series. They kept all their players. Nobody got suspended. Nobody was banned from baseball. So they just stayed good. Like, so what will anybody learn from that? Nothing.
Right. So, like, I don't know. I mean,
like, it validates that they're good enough to win without the cheating, which makes them cheating even more stupid.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? Because, like,
yeah.
I don't know. And, I mean, this, it was clear, it's clear to me that this Astros team is better than the cheating one. That,
yeah.
This was a better Astros team than the
2017. And I have to at least thank them on some level for eliminating the Yankees.
And the Phillies.
That would have been hell.
I mean, they beat the Yankees and the Phillies, so thank goodness. I mean, and for all the exhausting discourse that came out of the National League about the playoff format and the 300 win teams all went down too soon and all this stuff, the Astros, the best team in the American League, just went ahead and steamrolled everyone and won the World Series. So what's like,
yep.
enough with the playoff format and like, win the games. Yeah. Win the games. That's what the Astros did. They just kicked the shit out of everybody else.
I was gonna say, like, the Astros did it. What's your excuse, Dodgers? You were supposed to be the same as them talent-wise.
Simply win the playoff games. The Mets should have, if the Mets didn't want to get eliminated, they simply should have played better. So, I mean, it was a good World Series with like fun moments in it that was like, I think, good for the game objectively, because like it had good storylines to it. Like, it had kind of the this is going to make my mouth taste gross, but it had the Phillies as the Cinderella team and the Astros kind of the big bad cheating Astros. That was like the narrative, and like most people, I think most neutral observers, which we can't call ourselves neutral observers because we hate the Phillies, but like most neutral observers were probably rooting for the Phillies, but then the better team won in the end and there was a no hitter and the Yordan Alvarez homer was fun and there was like a lot of good stuff. And like, you know, this playoffs in general, I thought was actually, if you like step back and like, it's hard for me because like, it was so painful for me the way the Mets season ended to like, look at this, the rest of this playoffs objectively. I mean, we've talked about this before, like neither of us watched it.
No.
But I know what happened in it, and I saw highlights because like, I'm on Twitter and I see them. And like, I see how other people are talking about it. And I think that like, for baseball fans, it was a good play. Like, the playoffs were good.
Well, even like, you know, I was in Cooperstown the weekend after the Mets got eliminated, and that was when the Mariners and Astros played that epic game. And
yeah, the 18-inning game.
Yeah, and the Padres and Dodgers were playing, and that was when the Padres eliminated the Dodgers. So just talking to people in town, too, like random people, were like people in shops, like the baseballism store had the Braves getting eliminated on as we were shopping in there, and we were like, oh, okay, good. It, like, we saw the final out, like, in this store in Cooperstown. We saw Travis Darnell pop up to, I think he popped up to you know, eliminate the Braves. So then we just got to talking to the guy working the desk, and he was like, oh, yeah, I hope the Mariners win later. And then we're like, oh, yeah, and the Padres have a chance to eliminate the Dodgers tonight. So it's like we said, like random people you could talk to who were invested in it. So, you know, like impartial observers seemed to find it interesting, yeah, but it was even good, if it like broke my heart to like talk about it.
It was a good playoffs, I think.
Yeah.
But something that's worth noting that I think like makes the Dusty Baker winning a ring like all the more like, you know, acutely felt, I guess, is that the 2022 World Series was the first World Series since 1950 with no U.S. born black players playing in it.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of, I mean, it's obviously sad, but yeah, it's like kind of like that's dumbfounding to me. Like, that's not like how far, like how far of a step back is that for the game?
Yeah, like, we're going in the wrong direction,
man. Like, that's just, I mean, I know we've talked on this podcast before about this issue, and like, this isn't the first time that this issue has been brought up about how, you know, African American presence in the game is shrinking, like the African American player population, which at one time was very, very high.
Yeah.
Is shrinking. Like, my dad talked about, like, you know, my dad, I was talking to my dad about this, and he talked about like when he was growing up, you know, that like the Mets, like watching those Mets teams of like Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. I mean, he was already an adult by the 80s, but like, you know, just like there were so many prominent black players on the Mets and like, yeah, all around baseball. And it was just like, they made up like such a huge proportion of major league teams back in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And now it's like been slowly shrinking ever since then. And now it's like a really small percentage. I think it's like 7%.
Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is either. Like, what's turning them away from the game? Is it just because it's too expensive to play? Is it because
part of it,
the wealthier community, like they invest in the wealthier communities?
That's part of it. I think the way that the game is not marketed well is part of it.
Yeah. Well, because even like, yeah, like maybe not marketing the players, because everybody knew how cool Ken Griffey Jr. was. Everybody mimicked Ken Griffey Jr. Everybody, you know, everybody wore their hat backwards. So I don't know if just baseball marketing in general just sucks.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, if you find a casual observer, nobody, like, everybody in the United States knew who Ken Griffey Jr. was, whether you watch baseball or not.
Right.
Somebody who doesn't watch baseball probably couldn't name, like, a single baseball player.
Which is sad. I was talking about this recently with our lovely, lovely, one of our lovely, lovely listeners, Jenny. She teaches college in Japan and recently had me on as, like, a guest to talk about, like a guest lecturer in her class to talk about sexism and misogyny in American baseball. But we also talked about, you know, a whole host of cultural like issues. And one of the students asked me a question about like what I think about Shohei Ohtani. And of course I was like, I love Shohei Ohtani. I love watching him play. But the issue is that he should be a household name in America, yeah, and he's not. And that is, I think, a travesty for the game of baseball. The fact that Shohei Ohtani should be as famous as LeBron James.
Yeah.
But he's not even close to as famous as LeBron James. And that's a problem for baseball, I think.
Yeah. Like, he does stuff that, like, literally no other athlete could do. Like, what other athletes play two positions that well?
Like, he should,
like,
be.
It would be like in hockey, you're the goalie and you score. Like,
yeah,
that makes no sense. Like, my mind can't wrap around that.
It's like, I mean, it would be like a football player, not necessarily like playing quarterback and like defensive lineman, but it would be like, you know, playing like, it would basically be like, you know, like playing some like offense and defense as a football player, like playing, like being an elite wide receiver, but also being a great defensive lineman. Like, that's impossible.
Yeah.
but Shohei Ohtani does the baseball equivalent of that.
Basically.
It's amazing.
He's basically like the goalie one night, and then he's, you know, your elite sharpshooter on the power play the next night.
Like, how is he not as famous as like Tom Brady?
Yeah.
He should be.
He should be.
So that's an issue. I mean, like, it's kind of it's a separate issue than like the increasing whiteness of baseball, but it's like, I think it's related. I think that marketing is a part of the problem. Because when baseball fails to like bring in new fans, all it falls back on is its increasingly aging white fan base. Mm-hmm. And then the game starts to reflect that. So, you know, it's a problem that I don't know how to solve really, other than like market your game better and like, you know,
invest in more like communities.
Right.
And make it more affordable to go to games too.
Right. Jeez. Yeah, for sure. The average like cost of a family of four to go to a baseball game continues to rise.
Yeah.
At a ridiculous rate. Baseball should be in this way. Baseball should be the most accessible sport to go to because they play so many games.
Yeah.
So it should be the easiest to go.
Their minors were supposed to be more accessible too, because they were in, you know, they weren't just in the big cities, so you could go to a minor league game.
But then they contracted the minor leagues and like slashed the size of it. So
yeah, so they just shot themselves in the foot that way too.
Right. But in better news in this kind of same arena, I mean, we talk all the time about how, you know, the game needs to look more like America. And that we're talking about, like, not just, you know, we're talking about racial diversity. We're talking about gender diversity. We're talking about underrepresented groups of all kinds. And, you know, the Marlins just promoted Caroline O'Connor to team president. Which means the Marlins now have women as GM and team president. They are the first team in Major League history for that to be the case, which is incredible.
So yeah.
And obviously Kim Ng is also a woman of color. So that is fantastic. And just like, this is the type of thing that is good news. This is the type of thing where baseball is moving in the right direction. Obviously, you know, just hiring women won't magically fix everything. And same goes for any underrepresented group. Just simply bringing those people into the fold without actually, you know, making a welcoming environment is not going to magically fix it. But it is a step in the right direction, at least. So there's that. So that was a bit of good news this week. As well as the other piece of good news, which is that Dave Portnoy lost his defamation lawsuit against Business Insider. LOL.
We can always celebrate that.
Yeah. LOL. Get absolutely wrecked. So that was great news. So, you know, a mixed bag.
As it usually is in baseball.
There were good things and there were bad things. But yeah, I mean, it's early in the off season. There's really not much happening yet. I mean, luckily the Mets are one of the few teams that can celebrate like a free agent signing, even though it wasn't really a true free agent signing in the sense that he just kind of like, the Mets used their exclusive negotiation period to bring back Edwin Diaz, but still, you know, it's really early. Yeah, it's something more than most teams have so far. But, you know, really early in the off season, but hopefully the hot stove will get a cook in soon enough.
Oh, wait, we didn't discuss, I don't know if you know, that they're building a soccer stadium at Willets Point that just got announced.
Yes, I did see that. Like, I didn't read the details of it, but I saw that was going to be a thing.
Yeah, they're building like a hotel and housing over there. So I'm guessing there's going to be, you know, the whole area is being developed. It's not just the stadium. They said it's going to be beyond the right field, behind the right field foul pole.
Which is great. So, I mean, like, yeah, you know, I can't. So it's for NYCFC, right?
Yes.
That's who's going to play there. Now, as a Red Bulls fan, I cannot bring myself to care about NYCFC, but I am excited that they are building up that area. Because it should be more like, you know, what makes part of what makes the experience of someplace like Wrigley Field great and fun is Wrigleyville, is the area around the stadium and like
PNC too,
and PNC being like packed full of fans. And I mean, to a certain extent, this is true of Camden Yards as well. It's not quite as like many, like Wrigleyville has like many, many bars all around it. Camden Yards is not quite as many. There's basically like Pickles Pub is like the place that everybody goes, but it's still just like outside the stadium, there's like people are teeming outside the stadium. There's a whole atmosphere. Like that's just something that's completely lacking at City Field because there's nothing around it. So to have something, another stadium, and hopefully maybe the hotel, and hopefully maybe some more like bars and restaurants around would be really, really awesome.
Yeah, it's been needed for a long time now.
long overdue.
So hopefully but let's keep the good vibes rolling.
I agree.
We need the vibes.
Speaking of keeping the good vibes rolling, this is sort of a programming note before we move on to walk-off wins. I want to note that we have an Instagram page now, at A Pod of Their Own on Instagram, just like we are on Twitter. Because if you've been on Twitter at all, even if you're not on Twitter, I think most people know at this point, a certain Elon Musk has purchased Twitter.com. and is doing his absolute best to ruin it. I mean, I don't know, like there's a chance that the app could just totally go away, but even if that doesn't happen, I think that there's an even greater chance, like, yes, it could, there's a chance it could just get entirely nuked and go bankrupt or whatever, but I think that, like, the greater chance of happening is that, like, it'll just become like a shell of itself and nothing like what it was. And like basically everyone will leave. So we at A Pod of Their Own, who conduct most of our like promotion and business and, you know, sharing of the show and interacting with you, our listeners, via twitter.com, are, you know, coming up with contingency plans just like a lot of other people are. Of course, you will always be able to find us on amazonavenue.com. That is not changing. That will not change. You will be able to find the show posts every week. You will be able to interact with us in the comments. Like, that's always going to be a thing. But, you know, we are trying to expand our social media presence beyond just Twitter to other social medias, in case Twitter dies. and we should be doing this anyway. Like, let's be serious. We should really be expanding our presence. We want more ways to interact with you all and more ways to share content. So we do have an actual Instagram. We are over there at A Pod of Their Own, just like same as our Twitter handle. And we plan on we're in discussions about this. Nothing is final, but we plan on maybe making some other social media accounts, maybe a TikTok, something like that. And we might start sharing content in new ways, in the form of like small, like we might do more video clips of the show if that is something that interests you all, and share them as like Instagram reels or TikToks or something. Oh, God help me. I'm going to have to learn TikTok.
I know. Oh my God.
Like, stop making millennials try to learn TikTok. But it's like where this is going, right? And like a lot of popular, you know, podcasts do this, do a lot of video content, or at least like short clips of video content. So that's something that we're considering. Of course, we want to hear from you all about what you like and don't like, and if this is something that you want from the show. If you want short, more like video content, like hit us up. We'd like to hear your feedback about this because this is like kind of a whole new world for us. So we're kind of venturing out into the wild, wild west of other social media. So like, feel free to hit us up. Like, you can DM us on Twitter or Instagram at A Pod of Their Own, or you
keep in mind, we're not Gen Z here.
We're not Gen Z. But I'm willing to try to learn. So you can, you can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at a pod of their own. You can email us aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you about like what you think we should be doing in the like other social media space content wise. Cause we are not like, I like to say, being chronically online, terminally online, and being a social media expert are not actually the same thing, even if I want to tell myself that they are.
Yeah, then absolutely not.
Like, I really am just like I have like personal Facebook and Twitter, personal Facebook and Instagram accounts, but they are like not for public consumption. They are like strictly for like people I know. My Twitter is really the only like public facing like social media stuff I do. So like,
yeah,
I'm like, if I start making like Instagram reels and TikToks and stuff like that, would be like new stuff for me. But we are willing to try it if it's something that people will like, if it's because we don't want to lose our community. Like,
no,
we don't want Twitter going down to affect this show. That would be like heartbreaking for us. Like, we want to keep making shows. We want you guys to keep interacting with it, with shows. We want to keep making content that you guys enjoy consuming.
I was gonna say, especially for like the next Dollars for Dingers too.
Exactly. Like, Dollars for Dingers being successful has been very, very dependent on Twitter. So I am nervous about that.
I am too.
I am nervous about that.
I know it just ended, but you know, we got to think about these things.
Exactly. We're like, you guys, like y'all don't realize like the second Dollars for Dingers ends, we start playing the next one.
Pretty much.
So like, you know, we'd love to hear from you about what you think about all of this, because like, you know, we're kind of like brainstorming and like in a new realm with all this stuff. So we'd love to hear from you about it. Because we especially don't want Dollars for Dingers to suffer just because of Elon Musk. That would be a giant crying shame.
Yeah, we can't let him take that away from us.
No, that would be terrible.
That would be a tragedy.
It truly would be tragic. So yeah, that's just like a little programming note. Any feedback you have, we welcome it. But in the meantime, we will finish the show like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Linda Surovich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, my walk-off win kind of ties into what we were talking about. I was at work and the schools were having an art show at our community room, and a gentleman walks down and I'm at the desk and he goes, "Oh, I'm a local author. So I was just wondering how I would get my book, you know, in the library here." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And he was like, "Where do you order from?" So I told him, he was like, "Oh, it should be available. Your mom and my book's there." So, and he was with his daughter. And I was like, "Okay." I'm like, "I got no problem. I'll order it right now." You know? So I log in and he's like, "Oh, it's not coming out until January, but it's there. You can pre-order it." So I was like, "Okay." I'm like, "What's the title?" And he goes, "It's Pepper Plays On." And so I put it in and it's about a girl playing baseball. I was like, "Oh, what?" I was like,
"Yes.
It was about a girl playing baseball.
This is the content."
Yeah. So I was like, "Oh my God, like, this is right up my alley." So I looked to the girl and I was like, "Oh, so are you going to be the first girl who plays in Major League Baseball?" And I was like, "Is this book about you?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh, and are you going to be the first girl who plays in Major League Baseball?" And she was like, "Yeah." So then he goes, "Oh, tell her what team you want to get drafted by." And she goes, "The Yankees." So I was like, "Oh, you just broke my heart." But then he was like, "Oh yeah, I've been on MLB Network. I've been on Yes. I've been promoting the book. I've been talking about it." So then obviously, you know, I was like, "Oh, I have a podcast." So we chatted. So I got his information. So hopefully we can have him on the show soon-ish.
We would love that.
Yeah. So, because I was like, this is totally right up our alley. Like, it was
exactly what we want.
Yeah, and so on his website, it was all girls holding the book and taking pictures with the book. Ugh. And I was like, oh my God,
my heart.
Oh, like my heart was like bursting. Like, this is what we want. This is, you know, that's like the future, you know, female fan. This is, you know, what Kim Ng strives for. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like it was just perfect that, you know, he came in that day because his daughter had an art show in the library. And, you know, and he just happened, we just started chatting. So it was just perfect. And so yeah, the book comes out in January, but obviously I'll probably work to get him on the show before that. So yes, Mookie, I'm probably previewing a future show.
Get excited, everyone, for some off-season interview content.
Yes, and he said he would do a book reading at the library, so I thought maybe, you know, closer to baseball season, I can do a program at the library with him and the kids. So yeah, I was like, oh, it wasn't the fact that it was baseball, too. It wasn't softball. Like,
yes.
It was, yeah, crucial. It was just. Yeah, it was perfect. And so then I was like, after they left, I was sitting there trying not to cry at the desk.
Amazing.
Like, that's professional. But so that was my first walk-off win. My second walk-off win, which isn't really mine, but, you know, I randomly get a text from my sister, and it's a picture of her and David Boreanaz.
David Boreanaz.
Who she's loved since Buffy. Like, we shared a room as kids, her wall, her ceiling, it was all David Boreanaz, her side of the room, my side of the room was all Freddie Prinze Jr., and the common denominator ended up being Sarah Michelle Gellar. So Sarah was on both sides of the room. So her husband's aunt is the athletic coordinator of Ithaca College. And apparently they have a big football game every year between Cortland. So it was being held at Yankee Stadium. So they were in a suite because her husband's aunt got them on the suite. And since David Boreanaz is an alum of Ithaca College, I guess he decided to go to the game too because he was in town for the Veterans Day Parade.
There you go.
Because he was in the Veterans Day Parade. So then I guess he went to the parade and then went to this football game in at Yankee Stadium. And then, so, yeah, so I was just so happy for her because I looked at the picture. I'm like, you're crying. And she goes, is it that obvious? Well, like, just, you know, like, this is literally somebody she's loved since, like, since she was 12 years old, like, meeting your hero, basically. So that just, I was just so happy for her that, you know, it would be like me meeting David Wright. Like, I would just burst into tears if I ever met David Wright.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, so I was so happy for her, and like she's still on cloud nine about it because she was like, you know, if I didn't say anything to him, I would have regretted it. And so she said he was really super nice. She was like, oh, a picture, sure, no problem. And like she was like, it would have broken her heart if he was, you know, mean about it. But she was like, he was super chill, really nice. And so yeah, so I was just really happy that I was like, of all the people she could have randomly ran into at a football game. It was like, you know, her childhood first love, basically. I was like, it was perfect. So that's, I'm very amazing. Happy that she got to meet David Boreanaz. But then when she posted on Facebook, everybody was like, oh yeah, Boo from Bones. I was like, no, he was Angel from Buffy first. So get out of here with Bones.
Bones, please.
Please. I thought everybody knew him from Buffy, but I guess not.
No? I don't know. I mean, so I told you and Kellyanne this, yes, when you first told me about the Boreanaz run-in. Like, the way I know David Boreanaz, I mean, I know who he is, but I have not seen any of the stuff he's been in, even though I know of all of it. I obviously know what Buffy is, I know what Bones is, but like, I've not watched these things. So to me, David Boreanaz, like, when I think of David Boreanaz, the first thing I think of is not Buffy or Bones. It's the episode of BoJack Horseman where they make BoJack's house into the David Boreanaz house. It's an incredible episode. For people who haven't watched it, or BoJack Horseman in general, just like highly recommend. It's basically like the bit is that like a random tour bus like drives by BoJack Horseman's house and they think it's David Boreanaz's house. So all the people start taking pictures of it. They're like, ooh, David Boreanaz's house. And BoJack isn't home. The person who's there is his roommate, Todd. And his roommate, Todd, is like, this isn't David Boreanaz's house. And they're all like, aw. And then they kind of start to go away. And he's like, but maybe it is. And they're like, because one of them goes like, I would pay $10 to see David Boreanaz's house. And he's like, you would? Then it is David Boreanaz's house. And they're like, yeah. And so then he like, while BoJack Horseman is not home, his roommate like starts a whole David Boreanaz house like exhibit inside his house because people think it's David Boreanaz's house. And he like makes people pay money and he just like tapes pictures of David Boreanaz over all the pictures of BoJack inside his house. It's amazing. It's so funny. And so it's just like, yeah, like halfway through the episode, it's like David Boreanaz's house, that'll be $70. Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect.
That's historical.
BoJack Horseman.
And also, fun fact, his dad was the local weatherman in Philly for many years. So he was my dad's, he was my mom's weatherman for quite a long time.
See, when you have a name that rhymes with Borealis, I feel like that's an excellent weatherman.
But he had a stage name and his name was Dave Roberts.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, but I guess like maybe that's what led him to become a weatherman and just had to change it when he became, you know, on TV. Because yeah. I think he thought it was like too hard to pronounce or something. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. He should have said your son had no issues. Come on.
Should have used his real name.
Yeah.
But anyway, my walk-off win is that I was in New York City over the weekend to celebrate my friend's birthday, which was very fun. And we had a really nice time. We went to karaoke. And I haven't been to karaoke in a really long time, and so I had a really great time. It was just really nice. For something that folks might not know about me is that I am a recovering choir kid. Like I have sung in choirs for like basically my entire life, from fourth grade all the way through grad school, like continuously. I sang in choirs, and so like it's been a while because like since I graduated grad school, I haven't really like sung at all in any sort of organized way because like when I was no longer a student, there wasn't really like a built-in way for me to find a choir. Like I would have to like go out and find like a choir in the community. And it's just like not something that I've done since moving to DC. Plus like the whole like first 2 years of me living in DC was like peak pandemic. So like choirs weren't really happening even. And so it's just kind of been a thing in my life that like I haven't had in a while has been singing, something that's been a part of it for my whole life, basically. And so just like as a recovering choir kid, I really enjoy karaoke nights because it lets me get that out of my system. So that was really fun. We like had pizza. We went to karaoke. We went out to the piano bar afterwards. So I basically lost my voice because I spent the entire night singing because we were at karaoke. And then we went to a piano bar and they basically like at the piano bar, they basically played all the same songs that we just sang at karaoke. So we were just like belting them all over again. It was amazing because they like at the piano bar, they like fully leaned into the millennial. Like they did like, oops, I did it again. They did like, oh, it was like so good.
Yeah, you can't turn that down.
They did Green Day. They did My Chemical Romance. I was like, oh, I'm living my best life right now.
I'm in my element.
I am truly in my element. So it was a really nice weekend and I had a great time and my friend had a fantastic time. So happy birthday, Kathy, even though you're happy a Phillies birthday. Fan. It was funny because Michael said he was like, Kathy, I'm not coming if the Phillies win the World Series. And they didn't win the World Series. So we went.
It was safe.
It was safe to go. So yeah, it was just a really nice weekend. So it was really a fun time. So that was nice. Got to sing, got to dance with my friends. It was great. While you wait for more Mets rumors to materialize, you can go to amazingavenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We still have our season review series going, where we review each of the players on the Mets roster and how their each of their respective seasons went. So you can check that out. Obviously, all of the latest rumors, we will have those for you, as well as our daily news posts and everything else. Go to amazingavenue.com. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter and Instagram at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Cerevich.
You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, Amazing Avenue Audio. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there's no crying in podcasting.